Well, since today is Sunday of Memorial Day weekend, I've been praying and considering where we should go for this morning service. And as the Lord moved the past couple weeks and decided to turn our attention from 1 Peter and look at something a little bit different this morning. On Memorial Day, and as we've done this morning, we remember those who have given the ultimate sacrifice. I remember those who gave their all, including their life, for our country. And it's a very humbling and emotional thing to think about. And over our nation's history, we have been involved in numerous wars, and I hesitate to give statistics because in all reality, we do not know the exact number of people who gave their lives for our country. So all numbers are really approximate, and even those who may have died from causes after a war may have been over. But from the research that I've done and the statistics that I've come across, over the course of our nation's history, it's been approximately over 1.3 million men and women who have laid down their life for our country. And every single one of those men and women have a common bond that ties, and that is faithfulness. Each one of those people were faithful to their families, to their brothers in arms, and their country, all the way to the bitter end. And that's why we honor all those who have fallen, because they were those who, in the midst of war and turmoil, stared death in the face and remained faithful even at the cost of their life. So this morning we're going to be looking at a biblical account of a man who too stared death in the face, and with every reason not to, he remained faithful. And though he escaped this encounter with his life, faithfulness is on full display for this man. And there are several key lessons that we can learn about faithfulness. So I invite you to turn your Bibles with me to 1 Samuel chapter 24. 1 Samuel chapter 24. And as we approach this passage this morning, it's important and imperative that we provide some background as to what's happening in this passage. Because without background, it'll take away from some of the faithfulness that is on display. And 1 Samuel 24 falls right in the heat of this Saul and David conflict. The conflict between King Saul and David. And in all actuality, this is more of a one-sided conflict because David has no issue with Saul, but Saul has a big issue with David. So to set the stage for the whole conflict, we remember that because of Saul's sin, there is an issue. Right? Saul was commanded to go and kill all the Amalekites and spare not anything that liveth. But when Samuel came to Saul, Saul had disobeyed and kept some oxen and some sheep. And because of this direct disobedience to the will of God, we see that God rejects Saul. And with God's rejection of Saul due to his sin, this led to God withholding his presence from Saul and instead placing his presence with the next anointed for the throne of Israel, and the next anointed was David. But just because David was anointed as the next king, this did not mean that he was immediately ruler of Israel. So as long as Saul was alive, Saul was still the king. And since the Lord was now with David and no longer with Saul, we see Saul begin to unravel. Right? And David begins to become magnified in the sight of the people. Right, and this takes place really with the initial killing of Goliath. When Goliath challenged the nation of Israel, everyone was too afraid to stand up to Goliath and the Philistines, including King Saul. But David had faith that the Lord would enable him to defeat Goliath. And after David's defeat of Goliath and the defeat of the Philistines, the people began to praise David more than they began to praise Saul. Right, they sang songs of how Saul had killed his thousands, but David his tens of thousands. And this began to eat away at Saul. Right? And this root of bitterness and jealousy and really pride began to grow in Saul's heart. And this leads Saul to the point where he wants David dead. By any means. Saul is trying to kill David, whether it's by his own hand or another's hand. Saul wants David dead. And because of this, David is now on the run. He's on the run, and Saul is in hot pursuit, looking to end David's life. So David flees to the wilderness, and eventually, Saul and his men had surrounded David and the men that David had with him. So it looked as if doom was on the horizon for David until word came to Saul that the Philistines had once again invaded. So Saul went to defend Israel, but he could not let David go. So after defeating the Philistines, Saul returns as he seeks to end David's life. And this is where we pick up in chapter 24. So this lays some of the groundwork of where we are. Right, we see that at one point, Saul and David were not at odds against each other. But because of Saul's disobedience and his sin, the presence of the Lord is withheld from Saul, is now on David. The people are magnifying David over Saul because of David's faithfulness to the Lord. And jealousy is growing in the heart of Saul to the point where he is seeking to kill David. And we're going to be looking at the faithfulness of David this morning, and really in four different ways. We're going to see how David's faithfulness allowed him to endure temptation. We see that his faithfulness brought conviction. We're going to look at how David's faithfulness brings vindication, and how his faithfulness leads to affirmation. So we're going to be looking at 1 Samuel 24. I'll begin reading in verse 1. And it says, "And it came to pass, when Saul was returned from following the Philistines, that it was told him, saying, Behold, David is in the wilderness of En-Gedi. Then Saul took 3,000 chosen men out of Israel and went to seek David and his men upon the rocks and the wild, of the wild goats. And he came to the sheep's cotes by the way, where was a cave, and Saul went in to cover his feet, and David and his men remained in the sides of the cave. And the men of David said unto him, Behold, the day of which the Lord said unto thee, Behold, I will deliver thine enemy into thine hand, that thou mayest do to him as it shall seem good unto thee. Then David arose and cut off the skirt of Saul's robe privily. And it came to pass afterward that David's heart smote him, because he had cut off Saul's skirt. And he said unto his men, The Lord forbid that I should do this thing unto my master, the Lord's anointed, to stretch forth mine hand against him, seeing he is the anointed of the Lord. So David stayed his servants with these words, and suffered them not to rise against Saul. But Saul rose up out of the cave, and went on his way. David also arose afterward, and went out of the cave, and cried after Saul, saying, My Lord, the king. And Saul looked behind him. David stooped with his face to the earth, and bowed himself. And David said to Saul, Wherefore hearest thou men's words, saying, Behold, David seeketh thy hurt. Behold, this day thine eyes have seen how that the Lord hath delivered thee today into mine hand in the cave, and some bade me kill thee, but mine eyes spared thee. And I said, I will not put forth mine hand against my Lord, for he is the Lord's anointed. Moreover, my father, see the skirt of thy robe in thy hand. For in that I cut off the skirt of thy robe and killed thee not. Know thou and see that there is neither evil nor transgression in my hand, and I have not sinned against thee, yet thou huntest my soul to take it. The Lord judge between me and thee, and the Lord avenge me of thee, but mine hand shall not be upon thee. As it saith the proverb of the ancients, Wickedness proceedeth from the wicked, but mine hand shall not be upon thee. After whom is the king of Israel come out? After whom dost thou pursue? After a dead dog? After a flea? The Lord, therefore, be judge, and judge between me and thee, and see and plead my cause, and deliver me out of thine hand. And it came to pass, when David had made an end of speaking these words unto Saul, that Saul said, Is this thy voice, my son David? And Saul lifted up his voice and wept. And he said to David, Thou art more righteous than I, for thou hast rewarded me good, whereas I have rewarded thee evil. And thou hast showed this day how that thou hast dealt with me, for as much as when the Lord had delivered me into thine hand, thou killest me not. For if a man find his enemy, will he let him go well away? Wherefore the Lord reward thee good for that thou hast done unto me this day. And now behold, I know well that thou shalt surely be king, and that the kingdom of Israel shall be established in thine hand. Swear now therefore unto me by the Lord that thou wilt not cut off my seed after me, and that thou wilt not destroy my name out of my father's house. And David sware unto Saul, and Saul went home, but David and his men gat them up to the hold. Let's pray. Father, just thank you for, Lord, this account of David's faithfulness. Lord, as we remember the faithfulness of all the men and women who have laid down their lives, Lord, for our country, Lord, we thank you for that. That allows us to have the freedoms that we have to be gathered together today and be studying your word and worshiping you. And I pray that as we do look at this biblical account of David and his faithfulness, that you'll just give us wisdom and understanding. Lord, help me to be able to reciprocate your word, Lord, that I'll be able to present it in a way that is honoring and glorifying to you. Lord, help our hearts and minds to be open for your leading and guiding. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. So first we're going to look at faithfulness endures temptation. As Saul returns from defeating the invading Philistine army, that he continues his pursuit of David. Right? And even though Saul left for battle, he must have left at least a few men to watch David and to track David, because upon Saul's return, Saul is told exactly where David is. Right? David is hiding in the wilderness of En-Gedi, and he is way up in the rocks on the mountains. And Saul, and really his blind rage and hatred for David at this point, decides to continue to pursue, even though David was hiding in a fairly rough terrain, in a fairly tough terrain to navigate. And Saul brings with him 3,000 chosen men of Israel. So Saul is essentially bringing with him a small army to hunt after David. And he's sparing no expense when it comes to David's annihilation. Right? Because these were not just some random soldiers that Saul was able to get, right, that they were just at his disposal. These were probably some of the best soldiers that Saul could get, because he chose them. They were chosen by Saul. Saul had handpicked these soldiers to go to try to defeat David. Saul and this small army pursued David, and as they grew weary due to the tough terrain in which David was hiding, they came across these sheepcotes, which is essentially just kind of like a sheep's pen. Just an area to really be able to rest. So really, this may have been one of the few inhabitable spots for a group of men as large as Saul had with him. And by this sheep's coat, there's this very large cave where Saul decides that he's going to stop and he's going to rest. Right, he's going to recover in this cave and get some rest to be ready to pursue David further. And ironically enough, and it's really not ironic, it's the Lord's providence, that in the same cave, this is where David and his men are hiding. Right? They're trying to avoid Saul by being in this cave way up in the mountains, but now all of a sudden we see this role reversal. At one point, Saul is chasing after David, and David is hiding, but now David has the upper hand. Right? Saul is in this compromised situation. Right, he's sleeping in this cave, and David and all of his men are in the sides of this cave. Right, David could have very well taken advantage of this. Right, and this is the temptation. Right, David's men even saw this as a great opportunity. Right, they saw it as an opportunity to rid themselves of the problem of Saul. Right, and these men tell David, "Behold, the day of which the Lord had said unto thee, behold, I will deliver thine enemy into thine hand, that thou mayest do to him as it seemed good unto thee." What these men were saying to David is, now is your chance. Right? Saul has been chasing you. Saul has been trying to kill you. Now it's your chance. You can end Saul's life. You can kill him, and we'll be done with this. right? The Lord told you that your enemy will be delivered into your hands, and here he is. He's right here. But you see, the issue is that these men had a misunderstanding, because God had never made any promise of delivering Saul into David's hands. And David is faced with this great temptation. Right? All of these faithful men were telling him, go and kill Saul. Right? The Lord promises to you, go to kill him and it'll be over. You don't have to worry about it anymore. Right? You won't be running for your life. We won't be running for our lives. We can go home, everything can go back to normal. You see, David had faith. You may be asking, well, what did David have faith in? Right? Because God did promise some of those things to David, that he will allow his enemy to be into his hands. But he had faith in a prayer. And I would turn your attention to Psalm 54. Psalm 54, and this is a prayer of deliverance. Right? That as David is faced with temptation, and this prayer was written in Psalm 54 after the accounts that took place in 1 Samuel 23. Psalm 54 says, save me, O God, by thy name, and judge me by thy strength. Hear my prayer, O God, give ear to the words of my mouth, for strangers are risen up against me, and oppressors seek after my soul. They have not set God before them, Selah. Behold, God is my helper. The Lord is with them that uphold my soul. He shall reward evil unto my enemies, cut them off in thy truth. I will freely sacrifice unto thee. I will praise thy name, O Lord, for it is good. For he hath delivered me out of all trouble, and mine eye hath seen his desire upon mine enemy. And we see that from this prayer, and especially in verse 5, that really David is leaving all revenge to his enemies up to the Lord. Right? He's having faith that God was going to work and answer his prayer. Right? David was not going to take matters into his own hands in the killing of Saul. Right? He already left the matter up to the Lord, and he was having faith that the Lord will work because he had committed this matter to the Lord. But in an effort to appease the men of his company, David decides to just cut off a corner of Saul's robe while Saul was sleeping. And under normal circumstances, this would have been a sign of insubordination. And David may have meant it as that, or he may have meant it as a sign that he refused the opportunity to kill Saul. It was a token to say that he could have. It showed that he was there. How else would he get a corner of Saul's robe if not being right there? But if it wasn't for David's faithfulness to the Lord and the faith that God was going to answer the prayer that is recorded for us in Psalm 54, he could have taken matters into his own hands and killed King Saul. And some might be thinking, well, what's the big deal if he did? What's the big deal if he killed Saul? But think about it. There were few, if any, that knew that David was the next anointed king of Israel. To all the people of Israel, Saul was the king. Saul is the king at this point. And if David would have taken matters into his own hand, he would have killed the king of Israel. This wouldn't have inserted David as king. Rather, this would have made him an outlaw, potentially eliminating him from the kingship that was rightfully his when the Lord saw fit. Right? If David had given in to this temptation, things could have been very different. He could have gone from being magnified in the sight of the people to being an outcast, being an outlaw, and people rightfully seeking his life. And there may be times for us where we might have the opportunity to trust in our own ability to act over the provision of the Lord. We need to remain faithful as David remained faithful to God and his working in our lives. And it's not easy. But it wasn't easy for David either. We need to be able to withstand the temptation to do things our way when God wants us to do things his way. But next we see that faithfulness led to conviction. Right? After David had cut off the corner of Saul's robe, we see that David falls under this great conviction. And the Bible describes it as David's heart smote him. And we've probably all been in that situation before where we've done something wrong and we know we've done something wrong and our heart just drops. It feels like there's a weight on our chest. Right? And David knew that cutting off part of Saul's robe was wrong. What he did to Saul was wrong. And David says to his men, "The Lord forbid that I should do this thing unto my master, the Lord's anointed, to stretch forth my hand against him, seeing he is the Lord's anointed." Right? Because of David's faithfulness, he was brought under this great conviction. And we see throughout this passage that David, first and foremost, was again faithful to the Lord in his work. Because David recognized Saul as the Lord's anointed. And even though Saul had done literally everything that he possibly could do to cause David not to be loyal to him, David was still loyal. Not because of Saul, but because of God. Right? God had placed Saul in that position, and as long as God had Saul in the position of king, he was not going to dishonor the Lord. David was not going to dishonor the Lord. But secondly, we see that David was actually faithful to Saul as well, because he refers to Saul as his master. Right? Even though Saul had, again, done everything to betray the trust that David had in him, David still knew that it was his place to submit to Saul because Saul was king. And it's sad nowadays to see people at the least little thing betray all loyalty and faithfulness, not only to those that the Lord has placed over us in our lives, but to those who we have close association with. Right? Saul was trying to kill David. But David knew the right thing to do was to remain faithful in submission to Saul, if for no other reason, because God commanded it. And because of David's loyalty, and because of David's faithfulness, he tells his men, don't go after Saul. Right? He told them to, basically his words were to keep them at bay, to keep them stayed. And, you know, this, again, would have probably been a very strange thing for these men to hear. Right? He tells his men to not go after Saul once Saul, you know, wakes up and leaves the cave. And you could probably imagine what these men were thinking at this point, right? Saul had been after David and after all these men. They'd been fleeing for such a long period of time. They've been hiding in caves for protection, constantly on the run. They finally have a chance to end this whole thing once and for all. Saul is right there. It'd be so easy to kill him. And David says, let him go. Let him leave the cave. And these men listened. And they let Saul go. But then we see David do the most shocking thing of all. First, he doesn't take the opportunity to kill Saul. Then he tells his men to not kill Saul and let him go. But now David is going to go talk to Saul. Saul's trying to kill him, but he decides that he's going to go talk to Saul by himself. The man that once threw a spear at him and was liable to do it again, David was going to go talk to. He wanted to go confront because of this conviction that fell upon his heart. And this, once again, David shows his faithfulness and his loyalty, because he yells to Saul and bows himself before him. Right, he yells to Saul, "My Lord, the King," and as Saul turns around, David stoops and bows himself with his head towards the ground. And David's faithfulness to God and Saul led to his conviction to do this. And for us, there may be times in our life where we make decisions that may not be what they're supposed to be. And those decisions can bring into our heart conviction because of our faithfulness. Are we willing to be like David and let our conviction based on faithfulness lead us to have repenting hearts, even if it's tough? Right? It probably wasn't the easiest thing for David to realize what I did was wrong, and I need to go talk to Saul, even though he's trying to kill me. But he let his faithfulness lead to conviction, he acted upon those convictions. Then we see faithfulness brings vindication. As David took this risky move of revealing himself and appearing before King Saul, we see that his faithfulness to the Lord and to Saul as king will bring some vindication to his actions that he's done. Right? Because after David bowed to Saul, he started to address Saul. Right? And in this address, David reveals to Saul everything that's happened. And it seems as though to this point that Saul really has no clue what's happening. Right? He didn't know that David was in the cave. Right? He didn't notice that his robe was cut at the bottom. He's pretty oblivious to everything that's been taking place. And David starts by seeking to set the record straight. And he begins by asking Saul, "Wherefore hearest thou men's words, saying, Behold, David seeketh thy hurt?" And we see that in verse 9. Apparently, Saul had some bad counsel or some bad intel, because Saul was under this impression that David wanted to hurt him, that David was trying to kill him and potentially take the throne. It feels like Saul had a little bit of this idea that, you know, maybe David's going to try to be king. Right? And that's, again, leading back to that pride and that bitterness and that jealousy that was growing in his heart because the people were praising him over Saul. But David, you know, being faithful to the Lord and to Saul as king, brought about the ability to allow David to be vindicated. Right? And he starts this by mentioning the Lord's providential work in bringing Saul into David's hands. Right? It wasn't David's military prowess or his might that delivered Saul to David, because he could have done that if he wanted to. David was not allowing pride to gain a foothold into his heart. Right? He potentially saw the effect that pride had on Saul and was careful to not allow the same thing to happen to him. David now tells Saul that he could have killed him and that some of his men wanted David to kill him. But he didn't because of his faithfulness. David recognizes Saul's position as king by calling him Lord. And again, that is something that can apply to us today. Even if we don't like the person in authority over us, even if they are potentially actively against us, we still need to honor the office. Right, David was being hunted by the king, but he still honored the office of king that is the Lord's anointed by calling him Lord. But ultimately, David says the reason that he did not harm Saul in any way was because, again, he was the Lord's anointed. David's loyalty was first and foremost to the Lord, and because Saul was the Lord's anointed, David knew that it would be wrong to harm the Lord's anointed. Now, we've already seen this kind of covered for us, but this is the first time that David is expressing this to Saul. Now, Saul is hearing this directly come from David's mouth. And just in case Saul didn't believe David, David shows Saul the part of his robe that he cut off and tells him again that he could have killed him. You know, if you don't believe me that all these things happen, well, look down at the bottom of your robe, because I have it. I could have killed you. It's right here. And to address the lie that David was after Saul to kill him, David presses the point that there is no evil or a transgression on the part of David. He did not sin against Saul. He was not trying to kill Saul. He had done no wrong towards him. And David points out in the end of verse 11 and says, "Yet thou huntest my soul to take it." David has put it all out there. He's addressed everything. He's standing before Saul and has expressed that he could have killed him and didn't because of his faithfulness to the Lord. And he has dispelled the falsity that David was seeking Saul's hurt. And now he's put it all on Saul by saying that despite David doing no wrong, Saul was hunting him. And now David expresses faith and puts it all in the Lord's hands. Right? In verse 12, it says, "And the Lord judge between me and thee, and the Lord avenge me of thee, but mine hand shall not be upon thee." And he says that the Lord is going to judge. You know, we may have our opinions. David may have his opinion. Saul may have his opinion. But ultimately, the Lord is going to judge. And he tells Saul that the Lord may avenge David, but it's not going to be by David's hand. David is not going to be the one who's going to carry this out. And as we approach verses 13 and 14, David really starts to lay it on Saul. Right? And he quotes an ancient proverb. Right? In verse 13 it says, "And saith the proverb of the ancients, wickedness proceedeth from the wicked." Right? This is the same proverbial concept that Jesus uses in Matthew 7, 16 through 23 when Christ is talking about false prophets and how a good tree cannot produce evil fruit and how an evil tree cannot bring forth good fruit. Right? David is pointing out to Saul that he is wicked and the actions that he has been taking have been a product of his inner character. Saul's wickedness is because his inner character has been wicked. And David asks these rhetorical questions of essentially, who are you going after? A dead dog or a flea? A dead dog was a term often used as a symbol of self-abasement. David is essentially saying, why are you coming after me? I'm nothing to you. Why would you be hunting me to this level? And David concludes his address again by showing his faith. He's leaving the judgment up to the Lord. David's uprightness and his faithfulness allowed him to be vindicated before Saul. He was able to go before him and lay it all out there. The falsity that Saul thought that David was trying to kill him, David was able to dispel. But if David wasn't faithful before, he would never have had that opportunity to. David's faithfulness allowed him to act properly, and this allowed him to be vindicated. But now we see that faithfulness leads to affirmation. After David's address, we now see Saul's great confession. David's faithfulness is affirmed by an uncharacteristic response for Saul during this period of time in his life. After this address, Saul's confirmation that this is indeed David, once he finds out this is David, this isn't someone pretending to be David, Saul begins to weep and mourn. Saul confesses that David is more righteous than he is. Right? That David has done good to Saul when all that Saul wanted to do to David was evil. Saul affirms that the false accusations against David were indeed false because David showed his character and faithfulness by how he dealt with Saul. Again, someone who was so filled with pride and bitterness and jealousy, because of David's faithfulness, this all, at least for this moment, melted away. And what's very interesting is that Saul also recognizes that it was the Lord who allowed him to be delivered into the hand of David. And this is interesting because we stated that, again, this is not typical behavior for Saul at this point in his life to be making this type of confession. But it shows that when the Lord is working in someone's life, that they can break from their typical behavior as the Lord works. And Saul continues by asking the Lord to reward David for his righteous behavior because David had let Saul go without harm. When normally, if a man found his enemy, he wouldn't let him go without harm. He would kill him or at least harm him in a serious way. And we see the pinnacle of this confession and the ultimate affirmation of David's faithfulness and really showing the Lord was working during this time, because in verse 20, Saul confesses that he knows that David is going to be king. Right? "And now behold, I know well that thou shalt surely be king, and that the kingdom of Israel shall be established in thine hand." The thing that Saul feared the most, the thing that led to this whole issue, Saul is recognizing that David is going to be king. He's going to be king over Israel, But not only is he going to be king, he's going to do what Saul couldn't do and establish Israel. Saul spent much of his reign as king defending Israel and the borders, just trying to keep Israel from being overrun. But under David, the kingdom of Israel will grow. And during David's reign, he would be on the offensive militarily. And with this great confession that David is going to become king over Israel, not only will he just be king, he's going to be a great king, Saul asks David to swear unto the Lord that he would not kill Saul or his bloodline. Right, this would have been a very common thing to do at the time. If another line took over the throne, they would kill all descendants, all family of that previous line, so no one could potentially, raise any opposition to the throne of David. And again, showing his faithfulness, David does swear unto Saul that this will happen, that David would not kill any of Saul's descendants. They may not live, but it would not be by David's hand. And again, this shows David's faith, because David is recognizing that he doesn't need to personally defend his kingship, because it was nothing that David did to obtain the fact that he was the Lord's anointed. It was the Lord who chose him and anointed him, and it was the Lord that was going to preserve the throne. And we see the conclusion of this encounter with Saul essentially just going home. It's dispelled. He says, okay, I'm done. I'm taking my men, I'm going home. But David and his men continue in the stronghold. And that's actually fairly important, because David is faithful and David has sworn to Saul that he wouldn't harm him or his family, but Saul never swore that to David. And Saul never swore to David that he would cease from hunting him down, trying to kill him. And later in 1 Samuel, we'll see that Saul continues this endeavor to try to kill David. So this is a very important thing, that David continued in this wilderness for the preservation of his life. Throughout this whole chapter, we see David's faithfulness on great display. And I certainly hope that throughout our time this morning, we've been able to see this. In an extremely stressful and dangerous time in David's life, he was able to cling to the Lord and the faith that he had in the Lord and the faithfulness to him. We saw in the midst of great temptation that David was able to stand firm because of his faithfulness to God. Would it be described of our faithfulness that we could stand firm in the midst of temptation? As believers, would we remain faithful? We looked at how David's faithfulness led his heart to be convicted over his actions. Are our hearts tender like David's? That conviction that may be brought on by faithfulness, would we respond to those things in a proper way like David did? David's faithfulness led him to being vindicated before Saul. When we're being faithful to doing what God wants us to do and doing the right thing, even though others may misinterpret our actions or our faithfulness, our faithfulness will eventually allow us to be vindicated, even if our vindication doesn't come until the day of judgment. If we're being faithful to God and his work, even though others may be misinterpreting what we're doing, if we're truly being faithful, one day we will be vindicated. And finally, faithfulness brought into the life of David affirmation. This faithfulness led to the affirmation of his actions of letting Saul live, and David's faithfulness led to Saul affirming that indeed David one day will be king of Israel. In our life, our faithfulness may lead to affirmation. As we commit to God and the work that God would have us to do and his will for our lives, we will too see affirmation, whether it be affirmation from others, affirmation through circumstances, or even affirmation directly from God. But we have to commit to being faithful. And as we ponder these thoughts, and as we ponder Memorial Day, and as we remember those who were faithful to their country, let's never lose sight that as Christians, we're called to be faithful as well. Let's purpose in our hearts to be faithful. Let's pray. Fathers, thank you for your word this morning. And I thank you for this account of David's faithfulness and how because of this faithfulness that David ended up being magnified in your sight and that this great confession of Saul took place. I pray that you'll help us to be faithful even though we may endure temptation, or even though people may misinterpret our faithfulness, or even though it may lead us to fall under conviction. Lord, help us to be faithful. I just thank you for all you do for us in our lives. Praise things in Jesus' name. Amen.